Welcome to an exposition of the Gospel of John with Rev I.T. Matura. Get ready to be empowered and transformed by the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Welcome to Lesson 12, which I have titled The Resurrection and the Life. We are continuing as we go through this journey of the exposition of the Gospel of John, and what a blessed time that we are having in the Word of God. Today I'll do an overview of chapter 11, then look at the key revelation and key scriptures out of that chapter. I will conclude with five lessons that we draw from chapter 11. So get your Bible, get your notebook, let us flow together in the Word. Now we see here in chapter 11, Jesus hears a report from verse 1 to 16. It is a report and the reaction of Jesus to the sickness of Lazarus. Now the Bible says a certain man named Lazarus was sick in Bethany, at the town of Mary and his sister Martha. Now this guy called Lazarus was a friend to Jesus, as Mary and Martha were. And the sisters sent a message to Jesus saying, "The one that you love is sick." And when Jesus said this in verse 4, he says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." So you see, Jesus hears the message of his sickness, but the way he responds is not what you would have expected, because he then declares that this sickness is not unto death. So a sickness can be unto death or it cannot be unto death. Unto death means it will lead to someone's death. But already Jesus declares that this sickness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God to be manifest through the Son. Now, Jesus loved Martha, his sister, and Mary, and Lazarus. And verse 6 says, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place." That means even after hearing of the sickness, he remained in that same place for 2 more days. Thereafter, it was sent unto him that Lazarus is now what? Is now dead. And the disciples are worried and they want him to go and visit his friend. In verse 9, Jesus said, "There are 12 hours in a day. If any man walk in the day, he does not stumble, but he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walketh at night, he stumbleth, because there is no light." These things said he after they said unto him, "Our friend," and said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him up." So Jesus says Lazarus is sleeping, referring to his death. But these disciples could not understand what he meant. So he had to plainly then speak to them, because they said if he's sleeping, he will wake up. But then Jesus had to plainly say in verse 14, "Lazarus is dead." And verse 15, he says, "I am glad for your sakes I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nonetheless, let us go unto him." So Jesus then plainly says to them, "Lazarus is dead." But he then says, "I'm glad I was not there, so that you might believe and see the power and the glory of God." So he then tells his disciples, "Now let us go to where Lazarus is, where he was now dead." From verse 17 to 35, we see there Jesus' response to Mary and Martha when he arrives in Bethany, where now there was a funeral because Lazarus was dead. And when he arrives, it's already 4 days after his death. So he came, and when he arrives in Bethany, it is told by those that had come to comfort Mary and Martha that Jesus has come. And when they hear it, Martha is the first one. Verse 21 says, "Then Martha unto Jesus said, If thou had been here, my brother would not have died." So you see that Martha was the first one to go and meet Jesus and said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And those are quite powerful words. Sometimes they could actually be taken as an accusation that you let down my brother. We called for you when you were sick, you did not come. Now you're coming 5 days later. You have let us down. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. You would have healed him. So Jesus responds to Martha, because Martha then says in verse 22, but I know even now, whatsoever thou would ask God, God will give unto thee. Jesus said to her, thy brother shall rise again. So Martha said unto him, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Now you see that something here. Martha had faith for the past. She had faith that if Jesus had come earlier, her brother would still be alive. When Jesus says he will rise again, she then says, I know in the future he will rise at the resurrection. So you see, she had faith for the past, she had faith for the future, but she did not have faith for the present. And Jesus said to answer that in verse 25, a powerful scripture. He says in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. Whatsoever liveth and believeth in me, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He asked me. So Jesus says, it's not about if I was here, it's not about the future that you resurrect later, because I am here. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. We see here the fifth or the sixth, depending on how you count. If we include when Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, I am here. So this is the sixth I am that we see. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. In the present, right now, your brother can live, because the resurrection is right in front of you. The life is right in front of you. Hallelujah. Now, after this, it was then, she then said to him, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ and the Son of God who has come into the world. It was then told, Martha then went and told her sister Mary that the Master has come, Jesus is around. So as soon as she heard it, she then ran to go and meet Jesus. Now I want you to see there's something unique and different in the way Mary approaches Jesus, which is different from Martha. So when the Jews saw Mary running out, they thought she was running to the grave, and they said, let's go with her to comfort her. Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, Mary says the same words that Martha says. But you see, with Martha, they sounded very much as words of accusation, to say you have let us down. But with Mary, it's different, because her posture is different. When she goes to Jesus, she goes with a posture of worship. The Bible says she fell down at his feet and said, if you had been here, my brother would be alive. So those words were not an accusation, but words of faith in worship, because she believed in him so much. And you see that the response of Jesus is different to Mary from what he responded to Martha. To Martha, he had to begin to teach her, and after teaching her, then she had to come to the place of faith. But with Mary, you see that after she falls there, when Jesus saw her weeping, now she's worshiping, she's talking to him and she's weeping, and it touched the heart of Jesus. The next thing he says, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. And we see here Jesus being emotional. We don't see any other account like this where Jesus shows the emotion of weeping. We know later in the Garden of Gethsemane, his intense prayer, he's sweating, sweat like blood. We know his zeal in the temple when he chases out people. But here it's an emotion that is strong that causes him to weep. He wept. And this was moved by the worship, the faith and the passion that Mary had for her brother, because she was weeping too. And he also wept in response to that and said, where is he? And the Jews began to say, look at how he loved him. And some began to talk that if he had so much power, why didn't he heal this man or stop this man from dying? Hallelujah. Now we then see from verse 36 to 44, the resurrection of Lazarus. So Jesus then goes to the tomb where Lazarus had been buried. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the grave. It was a cave and a stone was laid upon it. Then he says in verse 39, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, by this time he stinketh, for it has been 4 days. So you see, Martha, when she ended a conversation with Jesus, Jesus asked her, do you believe? And she says, I believe you are the Son of God who has come into this world. Now, the Son of God is saying, take away the stone. Now she's beginning to question and come up with excuses and say, it's been 4 days now. So the body is already stinking. It will cause an odor here. It will not go down well. But Jesus responds to her and say to her, did I not say unto thee, if thou would believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? He now has to repeat himself again, the same thing that he had told her when they met, to say, did I not tell you, if you believe? So you see here, her unbelief, and Jesus is trying to teach her, because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So Jesus continues to teach and repeat so that her faith may be stirred up. So he says, if you believe, you see the glory of God. So they took away the stone where it was covering the entrance into the tomb. Jesus lifted up his eyes to the Father and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now you see, the prayer of Jesus is almost speaking in past tense. It shows that he had talked to God before he came to the grave. So he had already presented this case before God and he knew what God had already done. So he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And verse 42 says, I knew that thou hearest me always. I know that you hear me always. But because of these people that stand, I say that they may believe that thou hast sent me. So he says, you hear me, but because of these that are around me, that they have unbelief, so that they may believe, now show yourself. Verse 43, when he had prayed, he then shouted with a loud voice and says, Lazarus, come out or come forth. And Jesus was specific, because the miracle was for Lazarus. It was not everyone there in those tombs that was to arise. The miracle was for Lazarus. Mary and Martha had believed for their brother. And verse 44 says, he that was dead came forth bound hand, foot, with grave clothes. His face was bound with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. The man is resurrected. And what a miracle. This is a powerful miracle, because one, Jesus had to call back the spirit of Lazarus. Wherever it had gone, heaven or hell, it had to come back and he had to live again. The miracle of resurrection. But after that, Lazarus had died because of a certain ailment, whether it was a sickness or disease. So he had to be healed of that sickness, because if he rose but was still sick, you'd end up dying again from the same sickness. So there was a miracle of healing that took place, and there was also a miracle of deliverance. Jesus says, loose him, he had been bound, and let him go. What a miracle. Hallelujah. Then from verse 45 to 56, we see there the reaction of those that witnessed that miracle. There were opposite reactions to the miracle of Jesus. Many of the Jews that had come with Mary and had seen these things which Jesus had done, they believed in him. But verse 46 says, some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things that Jesus had done. You see, so there were some that were there that were spies for the Pharisees and the chief priests. So they were not there to see the power of God or to praise God. They were there as informants. This moment they saw it, they had news to spread. So they went to the Pharisees and said, this is what Jesus had done. And the Pharisees had to gather and have a council and say, look now, this man continues to do many miracles. If we let thus alone, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. So they were concerned about their place, their positions, and they pretended to worry about the nation in terms of that it would be taken over by the Romans. So one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest the same year, said unto them, now consider it expedient for us that one man should die for the people and the whole nation to perish not. So he says, it's better that this one man dies than for the whole nation to perish. But he didn't know that he was already prophesying that Jesus would die for the nation of Israel, but also just not just the nation of Israel, but for the whole world to bring deliverance. So from that day, they took counsel and they sought to kill him, to put him to death. So Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went through the country in the wilderness so that he may avoid that, because his time had not yet come. Now you see here that there were those that believed, that were happy that Lazarus was resurrected, but the Pharisees were angry and they wanted to kill Jesus because of this miracle. And Jesus had to go into a place where his ministry had to operate a little bit hidden so that he not expose it before it was the fullness of time. So the miracle of Lazarus brought two opposite reactions. The first reaction was of glory, celebration, and praising God. The next one was of offense. They were offended because of his miracles, and they sought to kill him because of it. Now, what is the key revelation in this lesson? The key revelation is in John 11, verse 25 to 26, when Jesus is speaking to Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he dies. Hallelujah. Jesus says, I am present continuous. You meet me, you have met resurrection. Your resurrection is not tomorrow. It is not yesterday. It is immediate. It is in me. I carry it. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me. So the connection is in believing in him. And the moment you believe, you live. And this is what he tells Martha, but Martha fails to grasp it and to comprehend it. But today, may God give us understanding. May God open your ears of understanding. May you receive revelation and you may be able to perceive that Jesus is the resurrection. Oh, there is nothing as powerful as resurrection power on this earth. It's more powerful than atomic power, more powerful than electricity, more powerful than any other power you could know, because no other power can resurrect a human being from the dead. It is only the resurrection power. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection. That is why he could lay down his life and pick it up again, because he was like a seed. You throw it to the ground, it has power in itself to germinate. And Jesus says, when I put my life, because I am the resurrection, he understood that he will resurrect. But not only him, those that have believed in him also receive that resurrection power. If you read in the book of Ephesians, it then tells you that that same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that is working in us. Hallelujah. Now, as I conclude, I want to look at five lessons that we learn and draw from this chapter. Lesson number one, Jesus is aware of the ending from the beginning. Now, Jesus is never surprised, he's never shocked. You never read anywhere in the Gospels that Jesus had to run. He's never under panic. He's not stressed. He worked with the Kairos time of God. When he's told of the sickness of Lazarus, he did not panic. He just declared that this sickness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God. So he knew the ending. He knew already that God was going to work a beautiful and wonderful miracle. So that's why he didn't panic. Many of the times we panic because we don't understand what God is doing. We don't understand how God is working everything for our good. And Jesus knows the end from the beginning. That's why the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12, the author and finisher. The one who authored is the one who finished. So your story will not end in defeat because the author is Jesus. You will make sure when he ends your story, it ends with a testimony and with victory. Hallelujah. Lesson number two, faith is for the present, not for the past or the future. You see, many times people have faith for the past. They talk of the olden days and say, if it was during those days, my things would have worked out. And many others have future for the faith for tomorrow to say, yeah, maybe in 10 years time, maybe in 20 years time it will work out. But faith does not work like that. Faith is for the present. So Hebrews 11 says, now faith is, not tomorrow, it is present. It believes in the now. It believes in God now. So your faith must be faith today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. It is that faith that produces results. Number three, worship moves God to intervene on our behalf. Mary approached Jesus with worship, and that made the difference. That was the difference between Martha and Mary. When Mary approached Jesus, she began with worship. And worship always opens doors. Hallelujah. You remember when Paul and Silas had been put in prison, the Bible says they were heard singing praises and praying. Because of their praise, the jail's doors and their chains were loosed and the doors opened up. It is worship that moves God to intervene. You remember that woman in the Gospels that had a daughter vexed by evil spirits when she was chased away and Jesus had said, I don't give the bread of the children to dogs. The Bible says she worshipped him and said, even the dogs receive crumbs. And that moved Christ and said, what great faith. I've not seen such faith. So when we worship God in the midst of challenges, it is a sign of faith and it moves God to intervene on our behalf. May the grace to worship flow in your life. May you receive it in the name of Jesus. Number four, nothing is impossible with God when we believe. Jesus says to Martha, did I not tell you, if you believe, you see the glory of God. Nothing is impossible. God is a God of impossibilities. The question is, do you believe? That's where the issue is, your faith, your belief. If you can believe, God can do it. What is it in your life? Believe God. Raise your faith. Listen to the word. That is why it's powerful. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Listening to the word builds your faith and structures your faith to be able to receive and to witness the manifestation of the glory of God. Number five, miracles trigger different reactions from people. When God moves miraculously, there are those that are happy. There are those that celebrate and praise God. But there are those that are offended and get angry and look for excuses to discount and discredit what God has done. May you be the first, the former. May you be one that celebrates when God moves, when God touches lives, when God shows his power. May you celebrate the goodness of God. May you not be a critic. May you not be an informant in the house of God. May you not be one that is looking for mistakes, looking to discredit what God is doing. But may you be one that celebrates and gives thanks when God moves in a miraculous way, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift your voice in prayer now as I pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing unto us from your word that God, you are aware of our beginning You are aware of our ending, and I believe that God, our stories will not end in defeat, but they will end in testimony. Our lives will bring glory unto your name. Father, we pray that you may increase our faith, we may grow in faith, give us the grace of worship, and that God, we may believe in you. The spirit of doubt, let it leave us. We receive the spirit of faith, and may we be those that give thanks for the working of your power in our lives and in the lives of others. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stay blessed.
Thank you for connecting to today's teaching. Looking forward to connecting again tomorrow. For more of Rev I.T. Matura's biblical teachings, go to innocentmatura.podbean.com.